Hey, I'm Luke, and I'm going around the world. This is the update for my only time, my one day spent in New Zealand. It's actually the first time I've ever been to New Zealand. One plan that I had was to extend my stay while I arrived there, because it's really not often that I end up exactly the opposite side of the world from where I live. I've been to Australia a few times, and most people think that, you know, Australia and New Zealand are close together. They're really not. They're, you know, they're quite a distance apart. So just going to Australia, you don't think, oh, just, you know, just fly across New Zealand. No, it's a long way away. So can't really do that. And I thought, well, maybe I'll spend an extra week there in New Zealand, see a bit of the North Island, maybe a bit of the South Island, I'm not sure. And then one plan that I had was to stay there a bit longer and then fly home via Japan and maybe spend 5 days in Japan and then get back. I could have maybe have worked out either to fly directly home if I get the cruise line that I was working on to sort of reschedule my flight back. And actually, there was quite a few people working on the cruise ship, other entertainers and things who had been on the ship for a long time, and they were leaving the ship in New Zealand. And that's actually what they did. They managed to wangle it, so they just got a flight home a few weeks later. So that was one plan that I had. But in the end, I decided that if I'm going to spend a lot of time, or maybe a few weeks in New Zealand, I'd rather do it at the time that I want. And I'd rather be there more at the beginning of the season, the beginning of like the summer season, spring season, down in New Zealand in the Southern Hemisphere. And then the other plan that I had, or to extend the plan, would be to stop off at Japan on the way back, you know, to spend some frequent flyer points and get do that. But then I worked out that then I'd be in Japan in the middle of March, which really isn't the right time to go to Japan. You really want to go to Japan a bit later on in the year, certainly once spring has started in full effect. So in the end, I just decided that I wouldn't extend my stay in New Zealand, and I'd just have one day in Auckland. Now, from what I know of the people who live in New Zealand, nobody outside of Auckland likes Auckland at all, because most of the country is known for, you know, its scenery and, you know, the nature and the people and all this kind of stuff. And what Auckland is known for mainly is its urban sprawl. So anyway, I thought I'd just, you know, just check out Auckland, see if I could do everything that I wanted to do in Auckland within a day. And actually, I went onto WikiTravel, which is a fantastic website, which is one that I always check out before I go anywhere. And I couldn't really find a whole lot that really interested me to do in Auckland. So in the end, I decided just, you know, whatever there was, I would just go for it. So when I landed there on the ship, you know, I decided to sort of walk up through the town, see if I could find anything interesting, see anything interesting. And, you know, it's quite an interesting place to walk through, but not, you know, it's just like a normal modern city, not a huge amount to look for. One thing I did want to do though is buy a book for the flight home, because I was going to have a 30-hour flight, or 30 hours traveling back to Berlin. And so I looked up online beforehand, so walked up to a place called St. Kevin's Arcade and found a secondhand bookshop there, and I did buy a book. Quite a good selection there, suitably wide selection that I could find something to read. And then I spent about an hour catching up on 2 weeks worth of no internet access except for emails. So there was lots of stuff that I wanted to catch up with there too. And then I pretty much walked back through the town to what's known as the Sky Tower, which is this big tower. Just a big tower, like you get in many big cities, you know, like Berlin has got the Alexanderplatz TV tower. This is just the Sky Tower, which rears its ugly head over Auckland. And I couldn't really work out why it was built, except for that they wanted a big tower, you know, for tourist purposes, maybe for radio purposes. But it's, you know, it's a bit overkill for actually what they needed to be. But that's what these big phallic symbols are. They're prestige kind of things. Oh yes, we've got the tallest tower in the whole of the Southern Hemisphere. And you're like, oh, very good for having the tallest tower in the whole of the Southern Hemisphere. Are you proud? And it's like, yes, we're very proud of having a really tall tower. The thing is, I really like tall towers. I really like going up tall buildings and to high places in cities and looking out. In Berlin, there's actually only one place which is considered a viewpoint over Berlin, which I've not been to. You know, I've been to the tops of all the different towers, the tops of all the hills, the tops of all these different buildings, and there's only the balloon ride. There's this big helium balloon that you can go up in, you know, dangling in a basket underneath and see the city. I haven't done that, and I haven't done the candy bomber flight over Berlin either, but you know, most of the other things in Berlin I have done, so I always like this anyway. So I went up to the Sky Tower, and I worked out that there was these two cables hanging, and I was like, oh, this is the sky jump that they mentioned on the Wiki Travel website. And the idea is that there's this fan-assisted descent, like free fall, you know, skydiving descent kind of thing, which lets you drop like 200 meters on the outside of the building, in, you know, just dangling in open air. And I looked at it and I thought, do I want to do this? Do I not want to do this? If I do it, will I regret it? If I don't do it, will I regret it? Now, one of the most important things that I do when I'm traveling is, of course, I always look up things to do before I get there. But generally, when I arrive in the city, I just go, you know, do whatever I want, or do, you know, whatever comes to me. Sometimes I'll do what I plan, sometimes I won't. But one thing that I think is, like, okay, if I never return to this place again, if I never go back to Auckland, what will I regret not doing the most? And then I always decide I will do that thing. Doesn't really matter about the time or the cost or, you know, what else I can't do because I'm doing that. I generally just go, okay, I'll do it because I'll regret it most. And I think a 200 meter jump on the outside of the tallest tower in the city would be the thing I'd regret not doing. So I decided to do it. It was quite expensive. It probably cost, New Zealand dollars, but I guess it probably cost maybe about 80 euros or something to do the jump on the outside of the tower. And it pretty much comes to the point where I was like, okay, I want to do it. So I went down, bought my ticket, and I had some time to spare, so I went and had lunch at this place across the road from the tower. I think it was called the Midnight Express. And they had a big Indian dish, mixed plate of Indian food. Very, very nice too. So then I went back, got all suited up in sort of like, it's like I'm going to do a parachute jump or something like that. And they put on this big harness. Two of the guys that I was there with, they were there on their lunch break because they actually worked in one of the buildings next door. And they got some vouchers. So they were on the lunch break. They were going to do the sky jump and then go back to work for the afternoon, which I thought was quite funny. So then you go up the sky tower and your ears pop and stuff like that. And you're all rigged up. And then you go out onto the appropriate level. And this is just this platform just out in the open air. And of the three of us who were doing it at that time slot, I went first. And the guys rigged me up and they were sort of clipping stuff on. And they're like, oh, no, not there. And then they clipped it on there. And they're like, and it seemed a bit strange. I was like, you know, are you? And I was like, do you know what you're doing? Because it seemed like, that, of course, they knew exactly what they were doing. But the way that they were, you know, playing it up as though trying to make it more exciting or more dangerous or a bit more, you know, nerve-wracking than it actually was. And it turns out they were training or they'd only just started the job, which I thought was a bit strange. But then there they were still, you know, doing it for like the third day that they'd done it or something like that. And I was like, okay, how many people have died on here? How many bad injuries have you had on here? And they wouldn't reply to those questions at all, wouldn't answer it at all. But I was guessing it was pretty safe. So you're out there dangling over the top of the out over the top of the city with the wind blowing your face and everything like that, and you're clipped on, and they slowly tighten up, so you're getting dragged further and further to the edge. And it's less of a sky jump, more of a sky sort of tilt forward and then step out into midair. But it is quite nerve-wracking. The first time they did it, they're like, okay, turn around, take a photo, and you sort of take a photo. And it's like, okay. And I was like, what? I was like, and they shout, and then I couldn't work out that they'd actually counted down 3, 2, 1 and expected me to jump. So I was like, oh, okay. So then jumped out, and they zip you down just a few meters, maybe, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 meters, drop down, and then they pause, and you turn around, and you wave for the camera, and they take a photo of you. And then suddenly your heart leaps up, and your stomach leaps into your throat, and then you go, like this, and it only takes you about 10 seconds to drop 200 meters, and it is quite thrilling, quite impressive as well. And down at the bottom, I thought, well, I'm gonna land on my feet, and I didn't land on my feet. Well, I did. I landed on my feet, but also on my hands as well, hands and knees, kind of dropping down to this pad down at this platform down at the bottom of the street. Actually a lot of fun. And then the girl who had actually get me sort of into the costume and into the harness, she unclipped me at the bottom, and then I could sit at the bottom and wait and watch the next two guys jump from the tower and land. The first guy landed flat on his face, on his hands and knees again. And then the next last guy, he managed to land perfectly on his feet. And I was like, oh man, I wish I could have done that. And when I was there, I was actually asking the girl who unclipped me, I was like, how many times have you done this? Expecting her to do it like once a day. And she said once, because she was new as well. And apparently the reason why so many new people were working on there is that the same company was setting up the same kind of sky jump elsewhere. I can't remember, Vancouver or something like that, or Seattle. And so they were all new people working for the company, while the people who'd worked there for a while and had done a lot of this training there before. They were then setting up this other company. But it was a lot of fun. I really did enjoy it. I'm not sure if it was actually worth the money, but again, I probably would have regretted not doing it more than I regretted spending the money. But to be honest, you know, I earn plenty of money with my job. I just want to spend any money that I need to just to have a really enjoyable day anywhere that I go. So I'm pretty happy with that. They actually did have a DVD that I could buy of my own jump, but the quality of the camera, of the image, was absolutely terrible. The photo of me dangling in midair was pretty good, and I say, well, can I just have this like on my on this memory card? You know, I've got like a little thumb drive. I said, can I just have it on there? It's like, no, you can only have the printout, which is just, you know, useless, like completely worthless to me. If they'd have had like a, okay, buy this picture for $5 to stick and just download it online, I'd be like, no problem. But it was like $20 to just for a bit of paper, and I'm like, well, that's not very interesting. So then afterwards, I actually went back up the tower again, this time with my camera, because of course you can't carry anything with you when you're doing the sky jump. And yeah, took lots of photos from the top, got a video of me juggling in front of the skyline from the top of the tower, took some panoramic photographs as well, lots and lots of frames to make a big panorama, which is what I do most places I go to. Unfortunately, at the moment, I don't have any software to stitch together the panoramas that I've got. So I've got loads of panoramas from Antarctica and loads of panoramas from everywhere that I'm going. And one day I'll go back through and stitch them together and put them up on my blog or something like that. But for now, they just sit there on the external hard drive archive there away. So, that was about it for the tower. Finished up there, and then I just wanted to go back to the ship and see a bit more of the town, so I got onto a little pedicab, and the pedicab was from the company that makes the pedicab is called Cyclist Maximus, which a good friend of mine actually used to work for the company, and once when I went to stay with him for a few weeks, I spent pretty much every day of 2 weeks hanging out down at the factory or outside the factory, near to the factory in Bath in the south of England there, and so it was quite interesting to, whenever I go around the world, I like to see the Cyclist Maximus pedicabs in these different places I went to. So yeah, I got a lift back down through the town, saw a little bit more, and then back down to the port, and then I went back onto the ship, and that pretty much summed up my day in Auckland. Later on, I got back on the bus and went across to the airport and flew back home, and it took me days to get home, what felt like hours and hours and days and days and days. And by the time I got back to Berlin, I actually worked out how long it had been since I last got up, and it worked out that on Berlin time, I had got up at 6 o'clock on Wednesday, no, about 6:30 on Wednesday evening, Berlin time. And then I did all the day in Auckland, 30 hours to travel home or whatever it was. And I got to bed at around about 3 o'clock on Saturday morning. So Wednesday evening to Saturday morning, I can't even, off the top of my head, I can't remember how many hours that was, but it's something like, 60 hours or something up. And without getting changed, without changing my socks or anything like that. Of course, I had slept, I slept in bursts on the plane home, an hour here, an hour there, but it really, really wasn't good. And the flight home, well long, wasn't that. I'd watched like 5 movies or something like that. You know, there's lots of stuff to do on the plane. But again, this is what I get paid. This is what I always think, is that I don't get paid to work on cruise ships. I don't get paid to travel around actually when I'm working on cruise ships. What I get paid for is the commuting for 12 hours or 15 hours or 9 hours or anything like that it takes to get to and from the work that I do. Anyway, that was my day in Auckland. I hope you enjoyed listening to this. You can email me, luke@juggler.net, if you've got any questions, or follow me on Twitter. I'm at Luke Burridge and Twitter as well. Otherwise, keep up with my blog, and that's about it. Thanks for listening.